You know, sometimes when you read several bits of writing, different books and so forth from the same author, you start to pick up on some trends, some things that they, writing styles and so forth like that. There's several books you can read and you can just know, I know who the author of this is because of the things that they write and the way that they write. And I think, to me, everybody knows I like pictures. When I read something, I love for it to make a picture in my mind and to paint that picture of what you're thinking and what you're trying to describe to me. And that's no different when we look at God's Word. I want to begin this morning by just looking, or I'm going to read to you several passages, just one right after the other. And I want you, as I read this to you, to consider who do you think wrote it, and can you tell what their focus was? What was on their mind on a regular basis? Should be pretty easy for us all to figure out. The first one is, brethren, pray for us. The next one, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. The next one says, pray for us, for we're sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you, therefore, all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Next one says, now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The next one says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Then the last one, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying all the time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door of the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And so several different things by the same author. If you haven't figured it out yet, those are all writings of the Apostle Paul. He wrote these things. Can you tell where his mind, his focus, his hope, his comfort, can you tell where those were? Again, it's pretty clear to see those things are not on things of this earth. In all of these passages, there's the passages that I just read there. And I understand there's a passage by Hebrews in there. And so you can take that or leave that depending on who you believe the author of the book is. It doesn't matter. It still goes to the point of what we're trying to say here. But in all of these passages that I just read, and in many more, Paul, he asks as many Christians as he possibly could come in contact with, really, and as often as possible, not only to pray for him and his work as an evangelist, but also, as he says there, to pray for us. That is everyone who is striving and enduring and suffering in order to spread the gospel and to serve God. And so that's what he was focused on. It's very clear that Paul depended on and he relied on prayer. And this week and in the last couple months, I hope that we have relied on prayer. Again, the things that we just talked about in the announcements, with all those that are suffering, with the issues of the last week or so, the last few months, I sure hope that we have relied on prayer like Paul has. And that's why I'm doing this lesson and want us to consider these things. I have no doubt that everyone here prays and prays on a regular basis. I hope so, at least. But I really want us to stop and consider how much does prayer play a role in our lives. Again, it's very clear that he depended on the prayers of the brethren on his behalf. And again, for Paul, prayer was not just something that he did. Well, I woke up, and so I guess I'm supposed to say a prayer. It's not something that he just told people this is what you need to do. Make sure you pray. He's not just commanding people to do something here that meant nothing to him. You know, prayer to Paul was his lifeline to God. It was his microphone to offer praises to God many times, just as David did throughout the Psalms and in different places throughout the Bible. Prayer was Paul's access and asking for the forgiveness of his sins. We always talk about all the great things that he did after his conversion. He wasn't perfect after his conversion either. And so no doubt he had to ask for those as well. Prayer was his petition to ask for help in times of trouble. Prayer was his comfort to realize that I'm never alone. Even if I'm here by myself, such as in prison, God is with me. And so I've got him there. So it's a comfort. Prayer was his encouragement to continue because he knew that others were praying on his behalf as well. Paul relied on prayer in his life. And so he asked for prayers by everyone he could continually. But the question that I've got to ask myself and that you need to ask yourself this morning is, does this describe my prayer life? Does this describe your prayer life? All these things I just said that prayer is to Paul, is that what prayer means to you? Or is it something you do before you eat? Maybe before you go to bed. And if you really need something and you're in trouble, that's what prayer is to you. I'm afraid, knowing from my own life and my past and so forth, that's exactly what prayer was to me. And I've got to make sure that that's not what prayer becomes to me again. But that means if it was a problem for me, it may be a problem for you. Maybe you're getting by on prayer, but you're not relying on prayer. And so I want us to consider that this morning. Very briefly, I don't have a long lesson for you this morning. But I want you to consider as we read a few aspects of Paul's prayers and look at how he did that. Let's just consider some of those things. The first thing that I want us to consider is one fundamental understanding that we should all agree with Paul, and that is that we need God's help in this life. And I don't know if I could ever emphasize this point enough. We get so self-sufficient in our lives, and we start thinking, I can do these things, and I don't need anyone else to help me with these things, and that includes God at times. Sometimes we get that attitude. We won't say it out loud. But we just start thinking, yeah, I got this. I can do this on my own. And we start thinking we are more powerful than we are. But that's just a signal for danger and for doom to happen if that's the kind of attitude that we have. Again, we need God's help for so many different reasons, just as Paul did. Maybe the job is just too big for us to do by ourselves. Maybe it is that we just aren't strong enough to do the job or to deal with a situation on our own. Notice I'm using that by ourselves, on our own. That's what we've got to realize, that we are only as much as we can be, but we need help in doing those things. Maybe it's just due to the fact that some things in life are out of our control. We have no control over certain things. We've got to understand that. But regardless the reason or our need, Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, even though we can't do these things by ourselves, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. He's the one who can do that, even if we can't do it by ourselves. And so we need to rely on God in our prayer, not just when we're having trouble, but to rely on Him during the good times. In any situation that we're in, can we, or do we? We can, but do we rely on God and rely on prayer in that? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus also reminds us that God offers help to those who turn to Him and pray to Him. Again, a very familiar passage to us, Matthew 6, beginning verse 7. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall you, your Father who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" Again, we'd be good to remember that we're never alone, regardless of what we may be going through in this life. We'll never have to go through anything by ourselves. Like I mentioned with Paul there, even if he's sitting by himself in the dark in prison, he still had God with him. And that's how we see all these, the way that he responded in prison shows so much about him, where his faith is. He can sing, he can pray, he can do all these things, and God is there with him. As Jesus gives his commission to the apostles there in the very last verse of Matthew 28 and verse 20, at the very end of it, he tells them, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And, you know, he could have stopped that verse by saying, I am with you always, period. But he added to the end of the age. And I started looking at, well, what does that word age mean? And it's the Greek word eon, which is the same place, or eon, which is the place we get our word eon. And so basically Jesus is saying, I'm going to be with you forever. I'm never going to leave you alone. You're going to be able to go out there and do all these things. And don't worry, I will always, always be with you. I'll be here for you forever. And that's a comfort that they were able to take comfort in. It's a fact that we need to take comfort in that and never take that for granted ourselves either. That's the same comfort as you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. The same comfort that Paul had as he's telling Timothy at the end of his life. This is a comfort that I have. Beginning of verse 16 of 2 Timothy 4, he says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Can you imagine how many times Paul felt lonely in his life? As he says there, no one supported me, everyone deserted me. But notice what he says in verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. We talked about that in 1 Corinthians the other day. In verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All man has deserted me. No one supported me but the Lord. He stood with me. He strengthened me. He will deliver me. Paul's trust was not in man. Paul's trust was in God. And so it makes sense that he would turn to him in prayer and talk to him as often as he could. He relied on prayer. And that's the same way that we should rely on God today as well. He prayed to God because he knew that if he needed help, God would be there to do it. And hopefully we prayed to God for that same reason. But besides just praying to God for help and comfort and guidance, Paul also prayed to God because he depended on God's daily provisions and his providence. And again, you say the word providence and it scares some people because, well, I don't know how that works. And what about miracles and things like that? God works in mysterious ways, as the old saying goes. God works and does things, and I can't explain how it all works. I just believe that he's there and that he does things for us. Again, you think about the times that Paul lived in and those before Paul, specifically the miracles that Jesus did and so forth. He lived in a different time than we lived in. Again, our 1 Corinthians study is talking about that and the spiritual gifts and so forth. But Paul didn't have all of his provisions given to him miraculously, but God still provided for him. And actually, when you think about it, God taught Paul in several areas that just because you think something or you want something doesn't mean that that's what's right or what you need. And so as you look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he learned something that we also need to remember, that sometimes we need God to show us what we need and know the better way than what we think sometimes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul learned that physical comfort and physical abilities are not always what you need while you're here in this life. As you look in verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, again, another familiar passage to us, says, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. You know, Paul thought that this thorn in the flesh was holding him back. And so he prayed to God. Of course, where did he turn? He turned to God. And he said, please take it away from me. Please take it away from me. Please take it away from me. And God says, no. I know what you need. My wisdom is better than yours. And this is going to be a good reminder for you that humility is going to be a great tool for you to remember me and to remember my grace and to keep you the humble servant that I need you to be. And so that was one way. He prayed to God. He didn't get the answer that he wanted, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But he got what he needed. God provided him with the thing that he needed at that point and throughout his life. And again, you cannot think about Paul and say, well, there's a prideful man. No, that was a man with humility and a man who loved God. And those are 2 things that we need ourselves so that we can be better servants as well. There's many things that you look at, and I'm not going to read every one of these passages. If you want to go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, since we're already in chapter 12, just turn a page over there. I'll be there in just a minute. But I want to just briefly notice some of the things that Paul prayed for that we should be praying for as well. The first one is what we just talked about, the announcements for health. There were brethren who had health issues. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, we see that Paul's traveling companion Tychicus, Trophimus, he was one that he had to leave because he was sick. And so no doubt Paul was praying to God on his behalf, and he's telling others to pray for him, so no doubt he would be doing that himself. But praying for illness and those who are suffering in different ways. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 35, we see one example of him praying for a meal. He prayed to God for the meal, and then he thanked God for the meal. And that's something that we should be doing as well, not just assuming that our food's just going to show up. You know, as adults, we know that, but I think sometimes we have a childish mindset that, you know, food's just going to be there, and, you know, like, well, whenever they call us to eat, that means that the food arrived. Well, it didn't just arrive there. Yes, we may have had to work for it, but God blessed us with that meal. And so we need to be thankful for him. And again, read these passages sometime this week if you'd like to. Another thing that he prayed for that we should pray for, provisions, such as clothing and shelter. Those are things that Paul needed. And God always supplied him with these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we also see that Paul needed help in regard to his safety and protection. And all those times that he's enduring these things, do you think that he didn't pray to God for that? Absolutely he did. And we have some examples of that. But notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 26, he describes some of the dangers that he faced as a Christian. Again, a lot more than we have to face today. But beginning in verse 26, he writes, I have been in frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Paul had so many things that were going on in his life. It wasn't because he was sitting there doing nothing. It was because he was out there being active. He was being a Christian. He was teaching and trying to convert. And he was enduring so many things. And when I read passages like this, it makes me stop and wonder, where would Paul be without prayer? Where on earth would Paul be without prayer? I think that he would be in the exact same spot that Job was in. You know, when Job was being tested by Satan, and he couldn't talk to God, and he was just miserable because he couldn't talk to God. That was what he kept asking for throughout the book. Why aren't you talking to me? Why can't I hear you? What's going on here? And it was just driving him crazy. And he was miserable because of that. He desperately needed to talk to God. And that's the same thing that I see with Paul. He needed to talk to God. But do we need to talk to God? Are we that desperate to talk to God? Are we miserable if we aren't able to talk to God? And like I said, I hope that we have a healthy prayer life, everyone who's listening to this. I hope we take advantage of the blessing that we have to talk to God on a regular basis. Because when we do that, we show that we're dependent upon God for his provisions, his providence, his protection. All these different things are what we show there. But it should hurt us. If we're not able to talk to God every day, multiple times a day, you know, it should concern us. Hopefully our prayer life is not so insignificant that it wouldn't bother us if we went a day without praying to God. But it may be, it's very possible that someone that's listening right now may not have the kind of prayer life that they need. It's something you have to work on and take time to do that. We sing that song, take time to be holy. Take time to pray. We need to take it to God. There's so many songs about that. There you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? What a friend we have in Jesus, to go to him in prayer. All these things that are absolutely thoughts that we need to consider if we truly love God and put our trust in him. Again, in all these instances that we've talked about there and listed up there on the slide, and many more. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. It's just a couple of things for us to consider that we should also be praying for ourselves. But in all these things, Paul turned to God in prayer. And as we see in this next point, he didn't just throw up an empty prayer to God. He truly believed that God would answer his prayers. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to believe that God can and will answer our prayers. As you look at Matthew chapter 21, the Bible makes it very clear that God answers our prayers. But as Jesus points out here, beginning in verse 18, we've got to believe and have faith that he can answer those prayers. Again, notice verse 18. He says there, "Now in the morning when he returned to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'No longer shall there ever be any fruit on from you.' And at once the fig tree withered. And seeing this, the disciples marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither at once?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to the mountain, "Be taken up and cast into the sea," it shall happen.'" Verse 22, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And you know, you may think about this point, well, obviously, isn't that obvious that we should believe in what we're praying about, or believing that God can hear our prayers? And that should be the case. But I've actually heard Christians saying this phrase, "I don't know if God will answer or not, but I'll pray for it anyway. I don't know if he's going to hear me or not, or listen to me or not, but I'll pray anyway." You know, our prayer should never be with the attitude, "I guess I'll give it a try." No, our prayer should be, "I believe that God can hear my prayers. And I believe that God will give me an answer." But prayer is difficult for some people because they don't like the answer that they get, or they don't always get the answer that they want. God may say yes, but he also may say no, or he may say wait. We've got a Christian friend right now who is struggling with this very thing with prayer. His cancer has returned. And so he says, "Well, I prayed for God to take away my cancer, but now my cancer is back. Does that mean his answer is no?" It may be. But it also may be wait. God has asked people many times to stop and let's show me your faith. And maybe that's what he's doing right now. I don't know. I don't know God's answers to everything. But we need to approach Him believing that He will hear us, and we need to be okay with His answer. If His answer is no, live your life the way that you're supposed to, and you don't have to worry about that answer in eternity. Because you know that you have a promise, and that's greater than any yes, no, or wait that we could ever have. And you know, it's good for us to remember as you think back on Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. This is no different for Jesus. He's the Son of God, but He didn't always get what His human body desired. Again, in the garden there, He said, "Let this cup pass from me." That was His desire as He was praying to His Father. But He also added, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And so that's a good reminder for us. God's will be done, and we need to be okay with that answer. But we need to believe that God can hear our prayers. No, we don't get to decide how God answers our prayers. All we get to do is ask appropriately, as we've been instructed. And there are several things we need to keep in mind when we pray. The first is we need to make sure that we're praying according to His will. Again, I'm just going to kind of go through these different things. If you want to read them further, you may. First John, in verse 5, or chapter 5, and verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And so we need to pray according to His will. The second thing, as you look in James chapter 4, in verse 3, we also see that we need to not pray with selfish motives for our own frivolous pleasures and so forth. That's not the kind of thing. I've heard people say, "Please help me win the lottery." Well, there's a lot of things wrong with that saying. Are you praying for yourself so that you can advance yourself and be rich and all these things? Well, you're praying for the wrong reason there. Again, James chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, or you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." And that should never be our motive for prayer. That's kind of abusing the system there. That is not what it was intended for our own personal gain and so forth, as far as these pleasures and motives and all that kind of stuff. And so we need to keep that in mind. As you look at James chapter 1, we also see, as we discussed just a moment ago, that we need to pray to God in faith, believing that He can do this. James 1 and verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith without any doubting." And again, I love the way that he describes this. Here's that picture that goes in my mind. "For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." And we know how unstable that is. We've got to ask in faith, believing. And then also in Luke chapter 18, go ahead and turn over there. Luke chapter 18, Jesus reminds us that we need to be persistent in our prayers as well. I love this passage. Again, Luke 18. We're going to go ahead and read this one. It's only five verses here. But this story of the persistent widow. I don't know why I like it so much, but I do. And so in verse 1 of Luke chapter 18, he says, this Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was a certain city, or in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear men nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me,'" or basically because she's so persistent, "'I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out.'" So here you got this woman. Again, this is a parable. It didn't matter that the other person didn't trust in God, didn't fear God, didn't even respect his own man, common man. But because of her persistence, she was able to accomplish what she needed to do. Again, I like this point, "lest by continually coming she wear me out." Obviously, we're not going to wear God out by continually coming to Him in prayer. That's one thing that doesn't apply here to God. But when you think about it, if our prayer life is so little that we rarely come to Him, that raises a couple eyebrows. That raises a whole other situation and a problem if we're not coming at all. If she had come back to this story of the persistent widow, if she had just come once and he said, nope, and she just went home and said, okay. Now, that doesn't mean that we should keep going to God and over and over and over, and he's already clearly given us his answer, and we don't accept that answer. That's not what he's saying here either. But there is something to persistent prayer. Does that mean that God didn't hear it the first time? Yes. But God, he already knew what we needed before we prayed to him even that first time. Persistence in prayer. We need to do that. We need to pray without ceasing, always going to him. And so it's an interesting story here. Again, all these things that are listed up there, those are things that we need to keep in mind before we pray. But before I close the lesson out, there's something else that I want us to consider, and that's some warnings that the Bible gives us, which can affect whether or not God does hear our prayers. And so I want us to consider that as well. We need to make sure that God can hear our prayers. Obviously, no one gets to decide whether or not God hears our prayers except for God and ourselves. And God listens to us depending on ourselves. So I want us to consider that. Before we pray, we need to consider our lifestyle. Much like when you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, whenever he's talking about husbands, he tells them they need to dwell with their wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that their prayers be not hindered. So there, that tells me right there, there's something that I can do, specifically as a husband, that can keep God from hearing my prayers. I can hinder my prayers. I can hurt myself because my life is not the way that it should be. But that's not the only passage that we have that says that. There's so many examples, several examples of God hearing and answering specifically the righteous. And I want us to consider those this morning. In James chapter 5, we can see this happening with Elijah. If you want to go ahead and look over there, verses 16 through 18. Elijah was a righteous man. We can go back and we may even have a sermon about Elijah next week. I started working on that this week, and I may go ahead and finish that up, but we'll see. But there in James chapter 5, we see here verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective or the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That's a great example of fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man. And it would be great if God heard everyone's prayers, regardless of what kind of person that they were. But I don't get to decide that. That's not what the scriptures tell us. And a lot of people have a problem with this. There's a lot of Christians that have a problem with this. That God hears the prayers of the righteous, but not of those who are not righteous. But that's not the only passage either. There's several passages that point to God only hearing the prayers of the righteous. One of those passages, 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, we see Peter here, he is quoting from Psalm 34. And he says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon who? Upon the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. John chapter 9, verse 31, the Jews are here, they're interrogating this blind man who Jesus has just made to see. And they're questioning him all kinds of things. And notice what he says there in verse 31. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears him. Another passage in Proverbs 15 and verse 29, Solomon writes, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. I've had Christians tell me and argue with me about this topic. I've had one in a Bible class accuse me of putting God in a box because I said that God hears the prayers of the righteous and not of the unrighteous. I've done nothing of the sort. All I've done is read God's word. Over and over, he says, I hear the prayers of the righteous. I don't hear the prayers of the wicked. I don't know what to say to that other than that's God's word. Now, am I saying that God can't hear the prayers of someone who's not righteous if he chooses to do that? Obviously, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But based on the scriptures that we read here, it says God hears the prayers of the righteous. He doesn't hear the prayers of those who are not righteous. If someone is seeking the Lord and they're trying to do everything they can for him, I believe God hears that prayer. Because that's what it says here. But again, I've had a lot of people that have argued with me about that when God's word says something else. I don't understand that. But anyway, but if we want our prayers to be heard, all these scriptures tell us you better be righteous. You need to live in a certain way in order for him to hear these things and be able to answer those things. Does that mean that God is going to do nothing but bad for those in the world? Obviously, that's not the case. And that's what's frustrating sometimes, that some that seem to be living in the world and just living for the world, that good things are happening to them. That's a different topic here. And again, I think that's Satan working there, that's saying, yes, you go ahead and do everything you want to. I'll make your life perfect while you're here on earth. But their eternity is going to be much different as they're suffering with Satan for all eternity. We got to make sure that that doesn't describe us. Our responsibility is to live our lives righteously for the Lord. If we will live our lives the way God asks us to, and if we pray in the ways that God asks us to do that, we can be confident that God will answer our prayers. But again, it's as he sees fit. His will be done in all these things. And so that's the message that I want to leave with you this morning. Again, as we've discussed here, some of these aspects of Paul's life, he reminds us, first and foremost, we need God's help. Never let yourself think that you can do anything without God, because you are stepping in the wrong direction if that's what you did. Because you wouldn't have feet to walk on if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have life in your body. You wouldn't have a body. You wouldn't have a world to step on without God there. So don't think you can do anything without him. But also, we are completely dependent on God's daily provisions, his providence, his protection. We need to keep that in mind and rely on him in our prayers. We must believe that God answers our prayers, and as we just talked about, we must be striving for righteousness so that God will hear our prayers. Like I said at the beginning of the lesson, with all the situations that are going on in the last week, in the last month, I hope that we are relying on prayer like Paul. That is what we need to be doing. You could get into all kinds of debates with anybody, and everyone is willing to listen to you right now and argue with you about what's going on in our world. You know, the one we need to be talking to is God. And that's the one who so many are not turning to and talking to him. If we'd be on our knees and humbling ourselves before our God and our Creator, our world would be completely different. Because then we would have the right attitude towards everyone, be they black, white, yellow, red and yellow, black and white, as we sing as children. They're all precious in his sight. They're all created in his image. And if we're praying to God and we realize these things, that part's going to go away. There are bad people in this world, and that's not going to change. Satan is still in this world causing people to do things like that. Nobody's going to argue that. But we got to realize, what is Satan and what is God? And who are we going to serve? Where is our attitude going to be? And are we going to humble ourselves to him so that our perspective is the way that it should be? And I'm going to leave it with that. Again, this week I want to challenge you to reevaluate your prayer life. Reevaluate how often you pray. How much do you rely on God? Or rely on that prayer to talk to him. You know, if your prayer life is, if you examine it and you say, you know what, my prayer life is exactly what it needs to be. I have the right thing, everything that you listed about Paul earlier, and what prayer meant to him, it means the same thing to me. Then to you, I say, keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing and serving God. But maybe it is, you look at your prayer life and maybe it's become something that you do. You just do it because it's what you've always done. Maybe it's a habit, but it doesn't mean it's a meaningful habit. Maybe it's that box that you check. Well, we've got to eat, so that means I have to say a prayer before I do it. That's the wrong attitude in doing that. Maybe your prayers have become just shallow words or repetitions that are vain and offered up with no real meaning to it. There's no urgency in your prayers. You're not having a conversation with God like you should. Remember, He's your Creator, and through Jesus and His death on the cross, you have that ability to pray to God through Him. That doesn't just happen, and so we need to not take these things for granted. But if that's the case for you, I hope that you will purpose this week to make your prayers be what God expects them to be and what will benefit you so much more. So do that. Try to do that this morning. Have a little talk with God this week. If you will bow with me, we'll say a word of prayer and then we'll offer the invitation. Our Father in heaven, we come to you so humbly. We are so thankful for this avenue of prayer that we have to be able to come to you whenever we need to, day or night, in whatever situation we're in, we can come to you. And we're thankful for this wonderful blessing that we have to do that. We thank you this morning for Paul's example. And there's so many others we could have looked at this morning as well, but we're thankful for his example of one who turned to you. He knew the power of prayer, and he encouraged others to partake in that as well, to pray for him, to pray for all those who are serving and trying to be servants of yours and get to heaven. We pray that we will do the same thing in our lives as well. We pray that you'll help us to realize, as I just mentioned, what a blessing and a privilege it is when we bow our heads to talk to you, that we are having a conversation with our God. Help us to be humbled every time we bow our heads to talk to you. Help it not be just a physical thing, but an understanding of what prayer means. We pray that you'll help us to rely on prayer in our lives and know that you hear us. Help us to live our lives in such a way that you can hear us, or that you will hear us. We pray that you'll be with our country at this time. Be with those sick and those that are tending to them. Help the unrest to calm down soon so that so many lives are not put in danger like they are right now. Help us to love one another as souls. Help us to treat each other accordingly. And we ask that you help us to remember that you created all mankind in your image. Help us to have the right attitude as Christians when we interact with one another. We have so many things to be thankful for and to ask for and whatnot. I hope that we will all do that on a regular basis. Again, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come to you. We pray that you will be with us as we continue on in our service. And we pray these things through your Son. Amen. And as always, the Lord's invitation is open to anyone who is subject to it. If you have something in your life that you know is not right, especially if you're listening and you know that you're not a child of God, and you've not been living the way that God wants you to do, understand your prayers are being hindered. Search for God. Pursue God. Turn to Him. Become His child through obedience and baptism. And you don't have to worry about your prayers being heard anymore. But even if you are a child of God and you see that there are things in your life that are not right, that you know you need to change, you need to get those things taken care of before it's too late. Again, we're in a different situation as we've talked about for the last couple months. But if you have a spiritual need that needs to be taken care of, we will be more than happy to help you out with that. But you've got to let us know how we can do that. I'll be more than happy to do whatever is needed at any hour of the day. But if you need prayers, you need encouragement, you need to be baptized, then please take care of that before it's too late. I appreciate your time this morning. I hope this lesson has been encouraging to you. Maybe not anything that we don't know already. I mean, hopefully we know the Bible really well, and these are all just reminders to us. But at this time that we are in, I think we need to remember prayer. And like I said, rely on that prayer just like Paul did.